Father, we thank you for being good to us today. We are grateful and thankful for our salvation. And Lord, as we continue to move forward with different pressures that we see in the early church and how it may affect us today, allow us to have discernment and wisdom that we may best honor and glorify you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we finished Romans. Yeah, go ahead. Wow. Yeah. But we've always been safe. But yeah. 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 You're not recording, are you, Ezra? Go ahead and stop. We'll make it easy for Dennis to edit. Yeah. All right. So we finished up Romans, and it kind of gets clumped together now as far as which one's first, which one's second, because we're trying to go through chronologically, and there's just a big clump together of Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, and Philippians. They're all kind of right there. So there are many different speculations on what order is what. But we know that they're all pretty much in the same few months. So the next four books, I'm not concerned about what order we do it because it's the same. It's in a month, a couple months period. So nothing really has changed in the church. So we're seeing now we're about 62 A.D., 26 years after the ascension of Christ. So the church has been growing now. It's gone through that phase, that transition phase from Acts to just the Jews, and it really wasn't like a set church setting. You know what I mean? They weren't focusing on deacons and pastors. Peter and those guys were in charge, and they were doing more signs and different things. So it's starting to transition now to what is the church? Like, what exactly is it, right? When we see the transition from the book of Acts, it was accepting Christ as the Messiah because the Jews were reading the gospel and how Christ was God in the flesh presented to them, right? There wasn't a whole lot of structure on the church. Now, you can go to Acts 2:41 where they met together daily, they prayed, and, those kind of good principles. But this is why it's so important to understand, and we're going to get to it a lot more in the morning service. But Paul's position, what exactly was Paul's calling? And one of Paul's calling was to show the mystery of the church. That's why in James, there's not a whole lot on the church, right? He's talking the 12 tribes of Israel, James. Galatians is starting to get it, but they're still confused on, do we have the law, not, do we do circumcision, not circumcision? So now that we're moving forward, and the church has a setting now. It's starting to be developed. We're starting to see what it is. Paul clearly now is showing us. I mean, Romans really did a good job of explaining what the church is. And now, kind of that same time period, maybe a little bit later, maybe a year or two later, we have Ephesians now. And so Paul is really nailing down, okay, here's what the church is, right? So Ephesians is a great example on the position of the church, how Christ was the exact representation of God, God in the flesh, and then now we as believers represent Christ. So Christ is the head, and we're the body. And there's a function there, there's a purpose, it's a living organism. Okay, so there can be a pressure, now that things are beginning to be established, there can be a pressure to not place Christ as the head of the church. There can be that pressure. There are so many ideas today on what church is, right? What is the church? What are some things we'll ad-lib here? What are some things that you guys have heard the church is and its function, what it's supposed to do? Any ideas? Gather and encourage. Okay, good. Self-help. Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've heard come to worship. I've heard come to learn. Yeah, prosperity, right? Come to, yeah, see how God can bless you. Yeah. Yep. I mean, just in those handful right there, nothing consistent. Right? Nothing consistent there. So no wonder why not only are young believers and unsaved people, they're confused, right? They're not seeing a consistent, you know, what the church is. Because man will influence that. They'll say, okay, here's scripture. Now everyone's going to say the Bible is the final authority for the most part. You know, for the most part. Not all religions do, but for the most part, they say, yeah, the Bible is the final authority. But where it gets interesting is, okay, how do I as a leader interpret this scripture and apply it in philosophy and methodology outwardly, right? That's where it can get kind of cattywampus. You know, are we seeker friendly? Do we try and make unsaved people comfortable in this body? We shouldn't. We shouldn't, right? We're not designed to make people feel comfortable. But we kind of gear towards that, right? You know, a lot of churches do. I'm not saying be rude and unkind, but I'm not saying we don't, that's not our purpose, that's not our goal. The goal here, in Ephesians is one of the best epistles that shows us this, is Christ as a body edifying the members so that when we're encouraged, that's a good one, fellowship, when we're out in society, out in the world, we are showing what God looks like, right? And I have to understand that there is a point to where I do need help. It's not self-help. It's spiritual help. I rely on other people's gifts to help me, right? Just because I'm the pastor doesn't mean that the gifts of everybody else don't work on me. That's not God's design. Okay? So there can be a pressure to not place Christ as the head, right? So I can have my idea. When I am driving to church, when I'm getting ready to go to church, I mean, we are the church, you don't go to church, but when we come to the local assembly, what is my mindset while I'm going there? Why am I even going? What's the purpose of me even going? Now, I need to have understanding that Christ is the head. So I'm going to be a part of the body because Christ is the head, right? I'm going to go because it's part of Christ's body. And there are other things in there. But if I'm coming, if I have me first, I'm coming to learn. I'm coming to worship. I'm coming. That's self-help. That's self-motivated. That can be wrong. Right? Can be. Not always. One thing I learned. Never say never, never say always. Because it's not always true. Yeah, right, yeah, except for, yeah, his attributes, right? Yeah, his attributes will always be there. Okay, so we'll go into Ephesians 2, and we'll just skim on down to, where was I going to start? Well, I don't want to go there. We'll do verse 15. We'll start there. Ephesians 2:15. Therefore, I also, after hearing of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, mentioning you in my prayers. So Paul did not start the church. What did I say? Chapter 1. Verse 15. Chapter 1, 15. Not 2, 15. 1, 15. Sorry, guys. I have two of my notes here for the second point. So chapter 1, Paul did not start the church at Ephesus. Someone had gotten saved, went out, and started that church. And so he heard about it, and he was writing back and encouraged them, and it prompted him to pray. And he's mentioning them before God constantly. Verse 17, so that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So we have here, It's an interesting word. So that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. How can God the Father be the Father of glory? What does that mean? How can God be the Father of glory? Okay, keep going. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. Keep our spot there in Ephesians because we're coming back. This is my opinion. Now I'm going to give him a verse to prove it. Now, if you don't want to agree, that's fine. No problem there. I like to show and see the glory of God now in Jesus Christ. So in Ephesians, it's going to be a rough day, guys. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So I have Christ in me, and it wants the light of Christ to be shown outwardly, because that's seen, people can see God's glory in me. God's glory in me is Jesus Christ in me, right? That's how I think in Ephesians, he's the Father of glory, okay? Christ, you know, addressed the God as God the Father. That is how I view it. When Stephen was being stoned, he said he saw the glory of God, and there's Jesus standing next to him. So that's my opinion. Again, you don't have to have that. I have a few other verses. We'll get into it later if you want, but that's how I see it. Glory of God is seen in Jesus Christ. Now, Paul is praying that they would receive that spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, of Jesus, right? So they have the Spirit of Christ. They have the Holy Spirit in them. It's not to receive more of the Holy Spirit or a second blessing or whatever. It's that what is in them now, that they would yield, it comes into the will, that they would yield themselves to learn and have God reveal, illuminate truth to them, right? To illuminate that truth. You can be saved and not have truth being revealed to you. Okay, you can be saved and not have that. I'm getting ahead of myself. There is a process to them, truth being revealed also as you're seeking, right? There's a process. We'll get into that in sanctification next hour. But Paul is praying that the Spirit would reveal wisdom and knowledge of Christ. That's the number one thing. Again, what is going to help us maintain Christ as the head of the church? Always having that wisdom and revelation being revealed to us and enlightened to us on our position as the body and Christ's position as the head. When I have that, as far as in the context of a local gathering, I know and I will be prompted to want to go to that gathering, right? So this is what he's praying for. Wisdom, knowledge of Jesus Christ. That knowledge only comes by experience. We'll keep on cruising on down here. Verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance among the saints. There's a lot there, isn't it? So Paul is praying that their eyes would have understanding and be enlightened. Why? For that hope. That hope. That hope is in Christ. So when my mind is focused on Christ, I'll have that hope. Ephesians 2 says, there was a time when you were without hope. Right? You were without hope. That hope is in the foundation of Jesus. You know, we went over last week on justification. On that position, that's the hope that we have. Today we're going to go over sanctification, and Lord willing, we'll go over glorification next week. But that hope, there is a time when everyone who without Christ is without hope. So an unsaved person has no hope. Biblically, right? Now, they might use that term, well, I hope, and their hope is I'm wishing it to be true. Our hope is this is already true. You can be encouraged with what's already true. This is the hope that we have. And his calling. Now, that calling there is he will come back for us. He will come get us. He's not going to leave us. Hey, go ahead. I don't know. Their viewpoint. I have to think about it, really, on what their hope is. True, but that nature, you know, will reject because it's humbling. Go ahead, John. Right. Yeah, I think many people just accept that whatever happens, happens. It's the yin and the yang, the karma or whatever, you know. Yeah. Yep. No, I got you. Yeah, exactly. But to go back to your point, Julie, I don't know exactly what a humanist point is. I'd have to look that up. But, yeah, people are very self-willed, you know. And it's amazing how the Northwest has that self-will. I don't need help. I have done it. The settlers that we talked to, you know, or how their mindset was, I mean, they did it. They did it. With no help. So God wasn't with me then. What's he going to do for me now? Yeah, I don't need him. So, yeah, that the Northwest is big. They used to call it, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, the church planting movement. They called the Northwest the graveyard for church planting because there was so much self. There was so much, we don't need you. Now, in my opinion, it can be overlooked because in the South, they all had big churches. And, you know, up in the Northwest, I mean, anywhere, you can't look at numbers as success or not. So that group was looking at, well, you have to have at least 120, right? Upper room mentality. Well, if you don't have 120, then you're not doing well. Well, Christ said 12, you know. I mean, yeah, right? Yeah. So anyway, not to get too far off track. Yeah, they just don't have that hope, but they're very self-willed in their nature. So he's praying that their eyes will be opened up there in verse 18. Let's see, let's move on down here. The eyes of understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance among the saints. It's amazing. We'll go in the 11th hour how in Christ, he's not ashamed to call us brethren. Like there are things that he has made for us. The riches that we have, not only in Christ, but the riches that we're going to inherit in heaven. We've inherited the number one riches, Jesus Christ, King of Kings, right? That's what we've inherited. We're now in God's family. We've inherited that. It's amazing. He doesn't have to give us anything, yet he's still choosing to reward us and build a home for us in heaven, John 14. It's amazing the things that he's doing for us. So again, to go back to my point, what's going to help us to not have that pressure to not place Christ at the head of the church, is Paul was really getting their mind focused on Jesus Christ. Christ's position. Your position. And your position because of Christ in you. Right? You see how it all kind of works together? He's keeping their mind focused. He's keeping their heart focused. Okay? On the truth at hand. Is that making sense? Okay. All right, verse 19, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? So again, I'm understanding that all this power is in God, all this power is in Christ. I have Christ in me, and I have that power. Now again, it's not power to, like, you know, a comic book power. You know, there's power in not having to defend yourself, right? There's power in forgiving someone when they sin against you, right? That's powerful. That's powerful to have to see someone stoned to death and say, forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they do. That's power, you know, or power to witness, all that kind of stuff. We'll get into that later. All right, now, how is it performed? Verse 20, Paul is clear, which he performed in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places. So all that was done, all that power over death, over Satan, now it's positional, right? Satan has no power as far as overboarding in Christians. In their position. He can't take that from a child of God, right? God owns them, right? God owns them. We're sealed in the day of redemption. Now, there's power of influence, or flesh and devil, our enemies, right? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. We have that going against us. But as far as our position in Christ, that power, where he holds us in his hands, and we cannot be removed from God's hands. It won't happen. Okay? Because we're his children. We're inherited. You know, once we've been born again, that's what that is. We're now born into God's family. So keeping that mindset on who I am and the whole scheme of things as far as the local gathering, right? When I know my position, my responsibility, it goes back to how we teach football. It's kind of crazy. You know, this is your position. Okay, what position is it? So you're right tackle. Okay, I'm right tackle. You know, what do you do? This is what you're going to do. This is all you're focused on. This is your job, and you execute your job well. You know, when we say stud right cougar, okay, stud right, the receiver goes to the right-hand side, the receiver needs to know, I'm a receiver. What do I do? Stud right. Oh, I got to go to the right side. Okay, and here I am all by myself. Okay, stud right cougar, it's an animal, four legs. Okay, ends in an R, it means it's going to go to the right side. What's my job? I'm going to block, move my butt to the left so I can keep this guy from going this way because this ball's coming around my side. Right? So when I'm on a football team and I know my position and responsibility, when I'm called upon to go in the game, I know what's going on. I know what's happening. And the more I know, the more fluid I can be in my responsibility. Same thing with church. Even better because Christ is in us. It's not a child's effort or a man's effort. When I know and I yield to, okay, I'm okay with being a child. I'm okay with, I'm not looking at what my past is, what I have, what I don't have, how much experience I have, how much experience I don't have. Here's what I know. Christ is the head of the church. I'm a part of that body. So I'm going to go be a part of that body. Right? And I'm going to allow God to use my gift to influence other people, to build it up. Right? Ephesians 4. For unity, till we all come to the full knowledge of Christ. Now, so what can happen? We'll take the next 5 to 10 minutes to do this. What can happen if Ephesians 2 is not in effect? Ephesians 1. I don't know why I'm stuck. Maybe I'm supposed to be in 2 today. I don't know. Ephesians 1. What's going to happen if I'm not setting Christ at the head of the church? What can happen? Now, when you say it'll fall apart, what does that look like? Mm-hmm. Right? Change your doctrine? Okay. Yeah, that's good. I like that. What else can happen? Yeah, right? We'll love the godly way like we're supposed to. Good. What else could happen? Now, there's some of your hope. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's what depression is. Depression is, I've lost hope. Mm-hmm. And we start becoming critical, right? Start becoming critical and putting down people. We exalt ourselves and put others down. And Corinthians says, comparing yourself with others is unwise. Don't do that. Yeah, so we see that, right? So So it's good for us to have the right mindset, not give into that pressure, because it's easy, right? It's so easy because we're getting bombarded with what church is by people who we think that we can trust, or by someone who has a degree from college, are saying, oh yeah, you know, go to church and you need to go there and just say, you know, praise God and worship. That's nowhere in Scripture to go to church and praise God and worship. Now, do we do that as a part of the service? Yes, absolutely. But is it the main function? No. So people are taking what is a part of the gathering and exalting it as the head. And when you take what is part of the gathering and exalt that over Christ, that's where we go wrong. Now, people do it. It's, you know, I mean, there's churches that are 12, 14,000 people that Christ isn't the head. Right? You see it all over the place. So all a church is, ecclesia, is a local assembly, a local gathering. It's called out, right? People meeting together. That's a church. Church can be anything. Our church represents Christ as the head. That's how we're different. Christ is our head. We're part of that body. So even in today's day and age, see, they were getting settled now, right? Ephesians. They've had some time. They've seen things. They're organized. Okay? As you go through the motions, if you're not held in check, you can place other things. It's easy. It's easy. I was talking to someone just the other day on some issues. I was telling them, you don't address the issues this way. But this book, I understand. But that book, okay. But this counselor, I get it. If you just say, Lord, I submit to you as a child of God, and I'll obey you and what you have for me as a Christian, supernaturally, this will take care of itself. I'm all for marriage seminars. I'm all for all these seminars, relationships. I'm all for those. See, there's a time for that stuff. But when I'm coming in to have a mindset to help me with this, I think it's wrong. I think it's wrong. You don't come here because you're struggling in this area of your life. You're placing your, I lost the word. That'll work. Oh, you're placing something else above Christ as the head. There we go. Now Christ isn't the head. Now my problem is the head. You see how it works? It's so subtle. Now it sounds like I'm speaking blasphemy, right? It sounds like, well, you should come to the church. You should. Absolutely. You do come in here for help. But it's not your main focus coming in. Am I making sense what I'm trying to say? It's so subtle. Go ahead, Julie. Right. Right. Yeah. Man, I'm glad you asked. Go to Ephesians 4. All right, you guys ready? Now, I'm going to read a lot, follow along, but I will come back and summarize. Okay, I will do it. Chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. I'm in chapter 4, right? I'm not having a... Okay. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, exhort you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you were called, with all humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another in love. Be eager to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Therefore, he says, when he ascends on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. in saying he ascended, what does it mean, but he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth. He also ascended also, or descended, who also ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So I'll summarize, okay? So Paul is saying, hey, this is who we are. This is accomplished because when Christ died, he went down to Abraham's bosom, which is called hell because it's down there. Not the burning hell. Remember, there's a great gulf fixed between them, an invisible wall, right? Luke 16. So Abraham's bosom, those who lived by faith for what God had for them at that time, went to paradise, went to Abraham's bosom, and they were taken care of. They did not go to heaven right away. All the Old Testament saints, before the ascension of Christ, no one went to heaven. Okay? But I know it gets weird with Elijah getting, you know, the chariot going up. He might have, I don't know. But all I know is Old Testament saints, for the most part, went to the center of the earth, right? So when Christ died, he went down, and now they're able to go up to heaven. Okay? Now all things are filled, right? You led captivity captive. They were captive down there. They were taken care of. It wasn't bad. It was good. It was a good place. Now they're led up into heaven to fill all things. Now, moving forward, now that all things are filled, Christ is now down on the cross, rose again, everything's done. It's fulfilled as far as the Messiah coming. Moving forward. John, you ready? Here it goes. Verse 11. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Here we go. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, and for the building up of the body of Christ. That's it. That's it. Okay, here we go. Until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, into a complete man, the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. So we may no longer be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness with deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into all things into him, who is the head, Christ himself. For whom the whole body is joined together and connected by every joint and ligament, as every part effectively does its work and grows, building itself up in love. Boom. That is the best picture of the church today. Right there. Now, a lot of teaching, right? Doctrine, a lot of growing, a lot of learning. A lot of going out and letting Christ be seen in us. There's a lot of that. That's the church. We're all unified in love, and we're working things out to look like Jesus. That's why we're here. To grow and become like Jesus. If someone comes in who's depressed, Christ was never depressed. We need to help, like a white blood cell, and help that person understand what's happening with them. And why, right? To build them up, to be closer to Christ. Now, not everyone's going to come in knowing that Christ is the head. They're coming in with whatever their thought is, right? Some of them don't even know why they're coming. They just think that they should be here, right? Up to the body and maturely to understand, have a sermon on, okay, I'm going to love them where they're at. At least they're here. Now I'm going to diagnose and see, where are they? Are they saved? Are they not saved? Right? What's going on? Why? Because I'm building up the body. I'm building the body up. So, is there worship? Christ said we worship in spirit and in truth. Right? Now, I'm going to be honest. When you open up the Word of God, New Testament, and you see the church, the word worship isn't mentioned. Now, does that mean we don't do it? We still do it in our heart, right? The word worship means to be bowed down, laying flat, right? I'm bowed down. That's what the word worship means. It literally means I'm hunched over, laying down flat. That's what worship means. This isn't worship. This is praise. Most of the time when the word worship's even mentioned, there's no music. They're beholding God. And they're falling down, right? That word worship and music came together when they made the temple or the tabernacle, and David wanted music. It wasn't even the law. David wanted music. God said, okay, That's how they got connected. Now, am I saying that that's wrong? I'm not saying that that's wrong, but it's a secondary product, not primary. Right? So it's easy to see how these secondary products can become the head. Right? We're more focused on how our music is than our messages. Whoa, now I have a problem. We're more focused on making people feel comfortable and nice. Now, I'm not saying we got to love them as Christ loved them, right? We have the fruit of the Spirit. No matter what, where anybody's at, I'm going to come out with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance, right? I'm going to come out with that. That isn't the primary goal. Christ is the head. As Christ showed the world what God looks like, we show the world what Christ looks like. Does that make sense? Good, Carol. Right. And that's where it gets tricky. So if I go with what the word means, right, in the Greek or the Hebrew, I'd be laying down, or at least bowing down. But in John it says, in spirit and in truth. Does that mean I have to bow down? I wouldn't think so. Because in spirit and in truth. But I see. It's interesting, isn't it? It can get tough on how we define it. Do I define it from the 21st century college dictionary? Or I say, well, the Greeks and the Hebrew say. It's tough, isn't it? True. Yeah. Right. And you just proved the whole lesson, John. Way to conclude that, baby. Excellent job. It is Christ is the head. Right? When Paul is praying specific prayers to understand where Christ's position's at, where my position's at, my responsibility. So all these second-tier things that aren't bad in themselves become bad by being a priority. Good job. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for being good to us today. Lord, we're thankful for our salvation. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace and your mercy, and Lord, allow us to be weary. Even now, Lord, I think that we're fully on track, you as the head, but allow us to not get comfortable in a sense to where it becomes mundane or meaningless. And allow us to always be on guard and have discernment. I pray for our men and our ladies in here to even keep me in check. If there's ever a time where a second-tier thing becomes a priority, that will be done away with. Lord, thank you for your love. Bless the next hour. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.